Let's head back downtown to the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas, for Football Friday with former NFL player Mark McMillan.
Cofield Company, Friday afternoon down here at the Nugget. I can't bring you anything but audio, but if I could bring you the smells from right in front of us right now, our man Grillin' McMillan is getting excited.
I'm excited
about what he sees in front of him. Those chicken and steak fajitas from Cadillac down here at the Golden Nugget look outstanding.
Should have seen his face when she mentioned chips and salsa.
I love Mexican food. You the one that told me about the fajitas, didn't it? Fajitas came on
and
deck.
Then they just arrive. How great is that?
I mean, that's some like life magic kind of stuff right there. You say fajitas, and all of a sudden they show up in front of you, right?
There you go.
That's some impressive stuff right there. This isn't on the training table, but we're going to make it work one way or another. Down here at the Golden Nugget, always on a Friday. It's lively. We'll say that. It's not quite as lively yet. We know once 5 o'clock gets here and the denizens make their way out, that the pool starts emptying out, that everything will get a little bit more exciting. But
swimsuits and thongs, baby.
We are not wearing swimsuits and thongs. I mean, I can't speak for you guys.
No.
No, it looks like just normal wear for you guys. I don't know what's under the jeans and the shorts, but that's your business, not mine.
We did just have a very drunk person come up and ask. He said to me, "Can I have some fantasy football advice?" And I was like, "Sure." Like, between which player and which player? And he goes, "Just in general." What do you want me to say?
Well, here's the thing. He probably was listening yesterday and heard that you're in 25 fantasy football leagues.
I know.
It's
a lot of work.
If I just heard you're in 25 fantasy football leagues, I would be like, "Guru, just tell me what to do."
Yeah, but just give me, I don't know who's available. I don't know who you have. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Right. You already drafted, I'm sure.
Mark, have you ever played fantasy football?
I've never played fantasy football. I think we hit on it a little bit last week. Yeah. I just can't see myself getting into it because you're almost like betting on a guy. You don't even know if he's, like I said.
Not almost. You are.
Yeah, you are betting on a guy. And I don't want to sit there and be glued to a TV and pissed off at a guy that, you know, didn't make me any money.
No, I'll tell you right now. It's the coaches. And you're like, "Why aren't you using this guy more?"
See, I can't do that. My nerves will be bad. And then I'll mess around. I'm probably friends with the coaches. I'm still friends with a lot of guys in the league. I don't have to call the guy and be like, "Man, you sucked."
That would be a great insight, though. Call him like, "Hey, man, like, just for this week, you
should not have told Adam that you still have connections like that." Adam's going to have you texting half the coaches in the league.
I can't do
to be
that.
Like, "Hey, which running back's going to get the share this week?"
and the Gruden press conferences that I'm at where I'm like, "Hey, you think maybe a couple extra targets for Darren Waller this week, maybe? Can help me out?"
So Keelan Doss could be active.
By the way.
And Keelan Doss is probably going to be active.
J.J. Nelson out this week, so it looks like Keelan Doss will make it.
Yeah, Keelan Doss coming on back. Talk about betting on yourself. Good on Keelan Doss for what he pulled off. Not only saying, the guaranteed salary is not enough. I'm not coming back just to be on the practice squad. You give me a spot on the roster or I'm not coming back.
No, not only that, he turned down a spot on the Raiders active roster to stay on the Jaguars practice squad, he knew what was going to happen, that they came back and just offered him more to come back to the Raiders active roster, which is crazy. But also, what a slap in the face to Marcel Aitman, who was on the team last year, is now in the Raiders practice squad, and they were begging Keelan Doss to come back instead of promoting Marcel Aitman.
Well, Adam, here's the question I have for you. The famous quote from John Gruden right after Hard Knocks ended to say, "Yeah, Hard Knocks pumped that story up, but it's not what we saw on the tape." Oh, really? Is that why you just went and begged the guy twice to come back?
So I think I can't remember if we talked about this on air or off the air, but I'll tell the story again anyway. I talked to Keelan Doss on the field last week before the game. He was not playing. He was in street clothes, just kind of hanging out. And I asked him about it, and he just kind of, like, nodded his head, and he's like, I saw what he said.
I think I would remember this. I don't think you told me this.
Yeah, he said, "I read the comments." He's like, "I came back." He's like, "Obviously, they showed me that they wanted me. So, like, you know, whatever they say is whatever." And he said, we had a conversation, and I know that Coach Gruden supports me. Like, that's basically what he said. But you knew, like, deep down there was like, "Oh, yeah, I saw."
Well, you know what? It got a little bit personal with those comments, and Keelan Doss decided, you know what's the best way to make it work? Pay me.
Yeah.
You pay me, and you give me that spot. And absolutely it worked out for Keelan Doss in the end, and he's going to be active this week in that game.
Look how giddy Mark is over these
Mark has gone. Mark has gone full influencer.
Man,
like,
he's
got
the
social media going.
I'm
this spread that we've got in front of us right now, the guacamole, the beans, the chicken and steak fajitas, and then there are the chips and – not only queso, but two different types of salsa and tortillas.
They put the ground beef in the queso. They turned it up a little
notch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They kicked it up a little bit. All right. Well,
I'm going to be asleep by 6 o'clock.
Just, well, just letting everybody know at 4:30, there's going to be a little more food talk with Grill and McMillan here.
Yeah.
Right now, though, I want to put both Adam and Mark on the spot because it's time to put your imaginary money, at least for now. I know Adam will have some real money on it. In where your mouth is, because here are your NFL games for this weekend. Now, I'm going to put them out there with the spreads. Mark, your choice. You can either pick these games straight up, or if you want to do it with the points, you do it with the points. Adam, you absolutely have to use the spread. There's no question about it.
That's fine.
All right, we're going to start right from the top here, and I think this is actually one of the more interesting games of the weekend in terms of trying to play it on the spread. Indianapolis at Tennessee. Tennessee is a 3-point favorite in this game against the Colts. Mark, last week we saw Tennessee with a bullish fourth quarter putting it on Cleveland. It was a close game for three quarters. You believe in what you saw from Tennessee last week?
I do believe in what I saw from Tennessee because they can run the ball. Obviously, we were down on them last week on the show. We were like, man, the Tennessee is terrible. Mariota's not who he says he is, and he's always injured. But when you have a guy like Derrick Henry in the backfield, you're going to win a lot of games because he can run the ball and wear defenses out. So I'm buying what the Titans are selling.
Titans or Colts, who you got?
I'm going to take the Titans.
Tennessee Titans for Mark McMillan. Adam.
I refuse to believe we were wrong about Tennessee. Tennessee, that was a really, really, really bad performance by Cleveland. I don't think Tennessee did anything special. They were better than I thought they would be for 1 week. I still think they're a bad team. I still think Mariota stinks, and I don't think he played very well last week either. Defensively, they can play. They did a lot to Cleveland that really confused them, and they're going to be good defensively, but I refuse. We always talk about week two being overreaction week and jumping on too much of what we saw last week. I'm not going to go there with Tennessee yet. I still say they're bad, and if I'm wrong again, I'm wrong again. That's fine with me.
I can just imagine if I was playing, if you would have been commenting on us when we're playing, he'd have been killing me.
No question.
He's too short. He sucks.
So I want everybody to understand also that when you hear Mark reacting to Adam's takes, don't be so sure he's just reacting to the take because he was dipping into that queso with the beef at the same time.
I was trying to bite the chip real quiet so the listeners wouldn't hear it.
No, but I'm just saying those reactions might be like a, ooh, not to Adam. That might be the queso. Like, you never know what Mark's reacting to. I was actually very impressed with Indianapolis last week. I thought the Colts played a really solid game, giving the Chargers everything they could handle. I like the idea of getting points with this Indianapolis team this week. Here at the Golden Nugget, they are catching three. I will go with the Colts and the points. Speaking of the Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers will visit the Detroit Lions this weekend. And here at the Nugget, Chargers are laying two, opened at 2.5. Mark, I don't know that you can have much bigger of a letdown than Detroit had at Arizona, Arizona team that we roundly agree is not that good this year. What do you think happened to the Lions last week, and how do you see it shaping up with the Chargers?
I think they got lax. They were up big, and obviously they're probably thinking like, oh, this is a rookie quarterback. We got him on the run. The offense is not as good. But it just took the Cardinals a little bit of time, and obviously he used his weapon of choice, which was Larry Fitzgerald, to be able to move the ball downfield. And I'm never big on the Detroit Lions anyway. I'm not a Matthew Stafford fan. I know a lot of people are high on his horse, but I'm just not a Matthew Stafford fan. So I would never bet on the Detroit Lions.
So you got the Chargers in this one.
I'm taking the Chargers.
You got the Chargers, Adam Hill. This one feels I don't know whether I'm making too much of it. It feels a little squirrely to me, but what do you think?
Yeah, listen, I don't really bet road favorites, but I will here. I don't think the Lions are very good, obviously, just like we were just saying. They got off to a great start because Arizona could do nothing offensively. But if you look, the Lions should have put them away. The Cardinals did. They had like 40 yards of offense in three quarters. They couldn't do anything, and the Lions couldn't put them away far enough. They really let up in the end of the game. I don't know what they have. I don't know where they're good in Detroit. And I do think the Chargers are good. They're beat up. They've got a lot of injury problems. Certainly with no Melvin Gordon, but the run game looked fine. Eckler was a weapon out of the backfield, not just handing off. And Justin Jackson was a nice change of pace as well. They did a lot now. Hunter Henry gone. That is a big weapon out of their passing game. So they continue to lose bodies. But I just think overall they've got too much for the Lions here.
So I agree with you overall. I hate the idea of taking the road favorite, but two, I think, is a safe enough number that if you believe that the Chargers are winning this game, you believe you can lay two with the Chargers. All right, here's a game that absolutely pains me to have to talk about in the first place because I know where I fall on this game. Buffalo at the New York Giants. Buffalo making its second consecutive trip to the Meadowlands. Last week, they spotted the Jets 16 points before coming back to win. And now they take on a Giants team that no-showed on both sides of the ball in Dallas last weekend. There is not a great history for the second of the games for a road team playing two games in a row on the road to open the year, but this Giants team, Mark, really did not look good last week.
They're struggling, and it's been a couple of years since they've been struggling. You just think, like, man, the Giants are going to somehow figure this thing out. Somehow they're going to get the right players, put them in the right position, because this is a historic franchise. And for them to be down for so long and just every week, it's like, man, you got Saquon Barkley who's doing everything he possibly can. And I don't, you know, the way he's running the ball, like I said, with the shelf life of a running back, they are running that young man into the ground. And that's bad to see. So Buffalo, you know, they showed up. They showed some resilience, but the Giants have not put up a fight in the last couple of weeks, so I'm picking Buffalo.
Ugh, I have no idea. Listen, Josh Allen showed who he is last week. He stinks. He's awful.
He led a 17-point comeback, Adam.
Sure he did. By throwing up a ball that a receiver went and got after he should have turned the ball over six times, four turnovers in the first half on his own. Should have been six. One was wiped out by a penalty. One was a drop pass. That would have been a pick six. That's just who he is. He's not accurate at all. He's a 50% passer. That's what he's always going to be. And I didn't see anything out of him that was anything special. The team looked good. The team found a weapon in Devin Singletary, finally, who I was screaming for weeks was going to be a breakout star, and he couldn't get on the field in the first half. They gave him four carries in the second half, only went for 80 yards on those four carries. And then they're starting Frank Gore again for some reason. Like, I don't know what this team is doing sometimes. They're finding ways to win because their defense is really good. Their coaches are pretty good for the most part, except for personnel, and they don't have a quarterback. I think I have to take the Giants.
I would take the Giants based on the fact that I don't think the Giants can be as bad as they were last week again, except that I am a New York Giants fan who has watched exactly what Mark is talking about, and the just rot from inside what has happened with this organization is unbelievable. I was a believer in the Giants, at least to the spread last week. They were getting 7 from Dallas. I thought they would score with Dallas. I didn't think the defense would be any good, but I thought they could score with Dallas. And to your point, Mark, I think maybe the Giants are worried about Saquon Barkley being able to hold up because they only gave him 15 touches last week. You have a guy who might be just pound for pound the most talented running back in the league, and he only touched the ball 15 times. That is a formula for losing. The Giants only had 10 points until a garbage time touchdown late in the game when they were already down 25. Pat Shurmur didn't seem all that concerned about his lack of ability to get the ball to Saquon. He said, well, that's how the game played out. Listen, guys, here's the problem. When it was 24-10 in the third period and the Giants had two opportunities from the two-yard line to make it a 7-point game, not only did Saquon Barkley not touch the ball either time, he wasn't even on the side of the offense that the Giants chose to go to. They ran Barkley as a decoy out to the far side of the offense, ran it to the short side on an Eli Manning-designed rollout. Really? I would trust any one of us sitting here right now to roll out before I would trust Eli Manning at this point of his career to roll out. Reluctantly, I have to take the Bills here because I just cannot trust anything that the Giants are doing right now. All right, we're going to pick up the pace a little bit here. Baltimore and those Arizona Cardinals. This is one of those big spreads this week. All right, Mark, I might actually make you choose with the points on this because it's so obvious who's going to win. Baltimore and Arizona. When we come back, you're going to be on the clock for Baltimore and Arizona. It's Cofield & Company from the Golden Nugget on a Friday afternoon.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews. Let's head back downtown to the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas, for Football Friday with Mark McMillan.
Mark McMillan is getting down on some Mexican food right now.
Y'all better ask somebody. Cadillac Grill getting it in.
Fajitas and chips, and we are being well taken care of down here at the Golden Nugget. Get down here for Football Friday. Get down here for the whole football weekend. They are ready for you down here at the Nugget. Adam Hill with us as well. Ari back at the studio. Steve Cofield is in Chicago. He'll be joining us in a little bit. That's when we'll pick up with the NFL picks that we were discussing at 4 o'clock. We'll get to the rest of the games, but we have to switch over to college football for a minute. And, man, this is just a topic that I don't want to have to be discussing, but we do have to discuss it because the California bill that passed through the legislature that will allow athletes in college to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness on the governor's desk, if it's signed by 2023, it'll go into effect in California where athletes will be able to make that money. And, of course, that violates NCAA rules. The NCAA is lobbying Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, not to sign that bill. And we've heard a few people wade into these waters. We heard LeBron weigh in on this. And now we have our old friend Tim Tebow.
Oh, my gosh.
Getting down on this
subject. Please don't call him our friend.
Here's the thing with Tebow. I have like a Taylor Swift thing with him. Where like I look at the image and the outside and I'm like, I should be cool with you. Like, I should like everything that's going on here. And yet there's just something I'm hitting a bad note here. It's just not coming through to me the way that it should. And this is one of those moments with Tim Tebow, without question. Tim Tebow this morning was talking about the situation with athletes potentially being paid. He was on my favorite program and yours, First Take, on ESPN, talking to Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. Here is Tim Tebow talking about the bill in California.
When I was at the University of Florida, I think my jersey was one of the top-selling jerseys around the world. It was like Kobe, LeBron, and then I was right behind them, and I didn't make a dollar from it. But nor did I want to, because I knew going into college what it was all about. I knew going to Florida, my dream school, where I wanted to go, the passion for it. And if I could support my team, support my college, support my university, that's what it's all about. But now we're changing it from us, from we, from my university, from being an alumni where I care, which makes college football and college sports special, to then, okay, it's not about us, it's not about we, it's just about me.
Oh, is that right? It's not about all of the players. Apparently, I was under the impression that this bill would allow all of the players to be compensated for name, image, and likeness. And yes, of course, it favors the star players. We know that. Like, apparently, according to the unofficial stat, number 3 in the world jersey sales.
Did he just drop Kobe and LeBron names like that?
One of these things is not like the other. Man. Yeah, like Tim Tebow should not be putting himself into that company. But
I want to see those stats, but there's no way those stats are.
Yeah, right. I don't think that
he said number 3 in the world behind Kobe and Jordan.
Yeah. Where's LeBron at? Like, come on.
Yeah, you know what? And Tim wasn't done. He had a little more to say.
And yes, I know we live in a selfish culture where it's all about us, but we're just adding and piling it onto that, where it changes what's special about college football. Tim, we turn it into the NFL, where who has the most money, that's where you go. That's why people are more passionate about college sports than they are about NFL. That's why the stadiums are bigger in college than they are in the NFL, because it's about your team. It's about your university. It's about where my family wanted to go. It's about where my grandfather had a dream of seeing Florida win an SEC championship. And you're taking that away so that young kids can earn a dollar.
I am going to need a shower after that one, because like the spittle was coming out of Tim Tebow's mouth by the time he was done with this rant. Look, guys, there are probably 5 different problems with just that last sentence alone. But, Mark, I will let you take this from the beginning, because I know you and Tim Tebow are probably not going to breaking bread anytime soon.
No, we're not going to be breaking bread. But like you said, Tim Tebow, he's a guy that you look at and be like, he does a lot of good stuff. And you want to root for the guy. You want to like the guy.
Does he do a lot of things to glorify himself?
He did talk about himself in, like, third person a lot.
Of course he did.
Like, he did. It did bring himself a lot of attention. You do have a point there. But when he made this comment, like I said, I'm sure he was privileged. I'm sure he didn't miss any meals back in the day. And there's a lot of guys that, you know, that are struggling. And back then, when you talk about the size of the stadiums, the only stadiums that's really bigger than NFL stadiums are down south, because there's really no NFL teams that get, you know, Alabama. You take Alabama, for instance. There's no football in Alabama. So the stadiums are bigger. Ole Miss, there's no football in Mississippi. So, you know, you take Florida, you know. You can't even say the Dolphins are an NFL team right now.
Not at the moment, no.
But even that stuff, I mean, there's, like you said, there's so many things. But the fact that you're saying this because you were in a different position than most of the players that you played with is just so self-aggrandizing. Of like,
I could have used
it. I didn't want the glory. Yeah, exactly. I had a brother that was a Division I player, and he wasn't at a major school. He could have used the money because I would go to the games. Literally, I would go to the games. He was a fan favorite at his school. Everybody had his jersey in the crowd. They screamed for him, everything else. And I'd be like, oh, by the way, you know, we're going to try to go out to dinner later. Maybe we can find, like, where we can get, like, a value meal or something, because you can't scrape together $5 to have dinner. Like, this is – it's insane.
Well, the thing of it is, Adam, I can't eat how much I want to play for Florida. I cannot buy groceries with my family winning an SEC championship. That stuff is garbage. And hey, think of what Mark says about
privilege. I loved Alabama, too, but on Sundays, we were scraping money together to get some two-piece Church's chicken. Like, we were home.
And the other part of that is he said, like, you're making the NFL where everybody has the money and that's where it go. Yeah, that's already how it is. You kids already go to schools that have the most money because they get the most stuff. They get the most things out of them. It already is like that.
Swag.
What are you talking about?
It's all about marketing. Look at Oregon.
Yeah.
Guys are going to Oregon just because they have the uniform combos and they get all the gear.
Well, it's...
He should have helped out the guys that was stealing those computers down. I don't want to throw his name on the bus. But
you know what?
He stole those computers for a reason. He didn't have any money.
Exactly. Look, it's tone deaf. It's privileged. It's over the top. It's Tebow in a way that even is above and beyond the sanctimonious Tebow that we usually hear. We're going to talk about something happier when we come back. We got all this food in front of us right here.
Trashing Tebow makes me happy.
All of this food that apparently Tim Tebow did not need to get paid at Florida to be able to eat. All this food right in front of it. We're going to talk to Grillin' McMillan, the alter ego of Mark McMillan, when we get back here on Cofield & Company.
Hit up Cofield & Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas. You're listening to Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield & Company Friday afternoon from the Golden Nugget here with Adam Hill, former NFL defensive back Mark McMillan. Ari back in the studio. Steve Cofield is in Chicago. He's going to be rejoining us in just a few minutes as we talk a little bit more football. Guys, before we get into this segment, I want to just ask you a real, real easy question. Because for me, I was able to renew my answer to this question just a few weeks ago. Went down to Dodger Stadium, was watching the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Go Blue.
And, well, they didn't go quite enough, unfortunately, because your and my New York Yankees won 2 out of 3 in that series. But it didn't matter to me for a few glorious moments, because when we were walking into our seats, they handed us a coupon that if we used a certain food delivery app, we could get a free Dodger dog.
Oh,
and I hadn't had a Dodger dog in quite a while.
Man.
And then I had more than one Dodger dog while we were down there for that series. And I was blown away by it. I hadn't had one in so long that I remembered that might be my favorite ballpark food of all. Do you guys have a favorite?
A Dodger dog or like a hot dog in general?
No. A favorite ballpark food anywhere. Any stadium, anywhere.
I mean, the garlic fries in San Francisco are really good.
I knew you were going
good.
There. It was the next thing in
They're
my head.
They're really good. I would say San Diego has like Phil's Barbecue, which is also really good. It depends on where you go in the country, like what they're going to have there. A lot of places that have their local like famous restaurants are going to be pretty good. But like if you go like generic ballpark food, like any kind of like a loaded nacho is always good. If you go like, if I go to a stadium or an arena and they've got like a bag of chips and like a little side of
cheese, you should leave the game.
No, no, absolutely not. But if you're going to give me like a loaded plate of nachos somewhere, or even like nachos with like the cheese spread already on them and like a little bit of other stuff, that's fine. Just don't give me that bag of chips with the little side of cheese.
Without question. And I was in Portland a couple of years back for the NCAA tournament, and they had a barbecue pulled pork nacho.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It was like not that. It was like $9 or $10, too. And it was this plate where you wouldn't need to eat anything for the rest of the day. It was just beautiful. Mark, what about you?
My heart is when you talk about Dodger Dog. I'm an L.A. guy. I was born and raised in L.A. So when you talk about a Dodger Dog, you can't beat that. And then you go down the hill and you get you a Tommy's burger with the cheese dripping out the side.
Man.
You can't beat that. And then when I was in Philly, when you go back to the Philly's ballpark, Chickies and Pete's. You got to get the crab fries.
Yep.
You got to get the crab fries.
Crab fries in the England.
It's ridiculous. The Diamondbacks have really good food. It's like a gourmet now when you go to a ballpark. I even heard the minor league baseball team here, they have chefs,
yeah,
cooking their food. That's
the
crazy.
Food at the ballpark is really good. Although I refuse to call it a minor league stadium because it's more expensive than most major league stadiums.
Okay,
so
I am not letting you take it down this road. This is a happy segment. We just had to talk about Tebow. I know you love ripping Tebow, but this is a happy segment because we're talking about the new food at the LA Rams stadium. Speaking of LA food, our buddy Arash, Adams' nemesis.
Your buddy. Get out of here.
Our buddy, your nemesis.
Yeah, exactly.
Our buddy Arash got a look at the new food items that are going to be available at the Coliseum for Rams home games this year. And I'm going to allow Mark to switch gears here. He's going to take off his helmet and put on the Grillin' McMillan hat.
Mm.
Tell us more about your alter ego, Mark.
I love to grill. Like I think I grill probably like 6 days a week. So my gas bill is like probably like $40 a month. So I don't even turn on my stove. So if you're out there and if you're listening, follow my Twitter. It's Grillin' McMillan. I even have my own spices and seasons. I'm real serious about this grilling.
You make up your own spices and seasons?
I make up my own spices. GrillinMcMillan.com is my website. So
I'm still learning when to take the chicken off the grill. I'm just always scared.
God.
It's undercooked. That's what I'm working with.
First, I got to teach you how to put Pampers on the baby.
Yeah, for sure.
Put some draws from last week. Now I got to teach you how to grill.
Sorry, I cut off your website. It was grilling. There's nothing I can do.
I got you, man.
Before
it's over, man, we're gonna have a segment that we're gonna hopefully if we can get a segment that we can just have some grills. I will grill for the crew.
You'd be so embarrassed by me. Like, you would be like, I can't even.
The pool is right outside here. We've got open air right behind us.
Man.
We should figure out if there's a way to get this done.
We got to get it done.
And for those of you who were not with us last week, we were not going to get all the way back into it. But just imagine Adam Hill chasing a 3-year-old naked through a Walmart because that actually did happen. That's why we had to figure out how to put the diaper on the child. But
by the way, I'm going to his soccer game tomorrow.
I hope you use
the restroom.
The parents.
Yeah. Yeah, the parents are going to be there. I'm going to be going to the soccer game, and I'm actually going to try to tell them to score the wrong goals. We're going to see how that works. I want to create chaos out there.
Look at that uncle.
Which is not surprising at any point. So, all right, guys. We have the Mega Meatball at the Coliseum, which looks to me kind of like a giant meatball inside a bread bowl.
Yeah.
The souvenir helmet ultimate loaded nachos, which looks like you took average ballpark nachos and stuck them in a helmet.
I'm in.
The Brontosaurus beef short rib. Now, this actually got my attention. This is a fairly sizable beef short rib. Now, I'm sure Grillin' McMillan wouldn't approve of wherever they're making this beef short rib. And then the Ole Al Pastor tacos at the Coliseum. How many of these pass muster?
I mean,
man, look at the mega meatball.
Pastor tacos anytime I'm in. I'll any kind of short rib I'm into. Like, I'm in on all these. Like, these are all good. These are fine. Luckily, let's see. I will be covering a game there next year, so that's good. Maybe I can take a walk through the concourse and grab some of this.
So, a question for you that goes along with that, though, Adam, because our best friend Arash said that the Rams are also going to have a dog at the game. And they're not talking about underdogs. We are talking about they're going to have a themed dog for the opponent every week. So the Saints are going to come in on Sunday, and there will be a po' boy dog. Adam, what's the Vegas dog going to be?
Mm.
Mm. That's a good one.
What would a good Las Vegas hot dog be?
What are we? Maybe like a shrimp cocktail dog?
Shrimp on a hot dog.
Stripper in a bun? We're in Vegas.
So I'd have that.
Apparently, it's going to be a chicken breast in a bun as opposed to a hot dog. This has the potential to go all the way off the rails.
What is Vegas food?
Well, that's ultimately what I'm saying to you.
That's a good question.
Because I would say it would be like Mexican-themed food, like tacos or that sort of thing. But we're just taking L.A. and San Diego Mexican food and bringing it up here.
Yeah, of course.
Right? So what would it be? Like, how do you take buffet food and put it into a hot dog, right? That would just be a bunch of hot dogs, you know, like the old press box hot dogs where they're just in a silver tray floating in water, daring you to eat them.
What about like a Elvis dog, like a peanut butter and banana?
Oh, there you go. Now this man's getting somewhere.
That's a good one.
The peanut butter and banana hot. Make it happen, Rams. Make it happen. The peanut butter and banana hot dog.
Would you eat that?
I'll try it. I'll try anything once along those lines. All right. That's enough food. Back to football. This is Football Friday here at the Golden Nugget.
I thought that was
football. kind of football. We wedged it in there. Steve Cofield's going to rejoin us from Chicago in just a minute because, you know, it is Cofield and Company here on Friday afternoon.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
All right, let's do it. Time to deliver some winners. RJ Bell joined us every Friday. RJ, how you doing, buddy?
Good, good. You know, it's not about winners, Steve. It's about the process. Let's get the process straight, and the winners take care of themselves.
All right, let's get the process straight for Dolphins and Patriots. Patriots now 19 at several places. How historic is this line, and what the hell do we do with this game?
Yeah, so the second biggest road favorite in the modern point spread era, right? We've got data going back to 1978. Second biggest one. So, and a lot of fans, hardcore fans, will remember it was the 2007 undefeated season that on Monday Night Football, New England went into Baltimore and the line was 20 on the road. And now in Baltimore only lost by 3. Historically, if you take all favorites above 18 points home or road in the NFL, the favorites cover a shocking amount. Like, you would think it's such a sucker play. Now, the volume isn't high. It's like 17 games, so the volume's not high enough to take too much from that. But the thing that worries me is Belichick has grudges. And you might think, well, it's his former coach, you know, assistant that's there with the Dolphins now. It's like, yeah, except the Dolphins have beat Belichick and Brady in Miami 5 of the last 6 years. Beat them straight up. So I got a feeling if he can make a statement, he's going to. So I still don't have the guts to lay it. I'm still too old school for that, but I'm not going to take the dog.
There's no way you'd consider the Dolphins with this big a point spread in the contest, huh?
No. Well, you know, the contest, you have to make 5 picks, right? So you're forced. Yeah. And sometimes that 5th pick is tough. Like, I don't like anything. And we all tend to, me and Fez and Matty Holt collectively maybe don't like that 5th pick. So we will just take either some obvious sharp play, you know, where it's like the big dogs are more obvious, the team that got blown out the last week. Now, what's paradoxical about that is it might help your win percentage a little, but it aligns you with the other participants in the contest. And the only way to win, because they tend to want to try to be sharp, the only way to win is to differentiate yourself. So that does bring up an interesting contest question. You know, the Cleveland line Monday night was set on Wednesday for the contest, and the line's going to be, I'm pretty sure it's 2.5 if I'm going by memory here.
Yep.
Now it's 6.5. So do you autoplay that? We were just talking about it here at the office, and maybe, but if you like that 5th game, don't. Because if somehow that game, you know, don't play it. Play your 5th game. Because if you're trying to differentiate yourself, you can pick up a game on almost everybody if that game loses.
What do you think about that adjustment as we talk about the Browns and the Jets with RJ Bell? Is Sam Darnold worth 4 points?
No, I don't think he is. and Fezzik put the number at 2. Now, you might say, wait a minute, though. Fezzik's wrong. The market said 4. And it went up to the key number of 3, which actually then implies it's worth more than 4, Darnold. If you look at the stats, Simeon has a better completion percentage on his career and a better passer rating. Right? So I think a lot of it is the Darnold love. We were talking about this on Colin Cowherd on the podcast that he releases Saturday mornings that he and I do every week. And to me, it was a situation where he was saying, well, you know, Darnold got better at the end of last year. And it's like, yeah, maybe. But how did he look in game one? Not very good against the Bills. So I made this point, and I'm going to stick to it. And I'm going to ask you, Steve, think about all quarterbacks who are under 30. All right. So first, it's not the old school, but the new school to some degree. All right. Why am I making that distinction? Because I think they grew up with year-round football more. They grew up with more open offenses, even in Pee Wee. And they're just used to throwing the football. They're a higher caliber. They're more ready to go at every level. Right. We see it with freshmen in college right now, right, at quarterback. They're doing well. Now, tell me an elite quarterback, or even a good one, like a quite a good one, a top dozen quarterback in that young group that had a rookie year as bad as Sam Darnold. And we can caveat one and say, I don't know if you put Goff in the top 12 or not, but we would say he's either the exception or we would say Jeff Fisher. Right, so I accept that I might be wrong. You know, Goff might be the exception, or maybe it is Fisher. But otherwise, it feels like every quarterback that's any good was pretty good the rookie year. And I don't think Sam Darnold was. And all this talk about him inevitably being a really good quarterback, I like to be able to bet against it.
Wow, look at you going at Colin Cowherd, who loves Sam Darnold.
Oh, my God. Well, it was funny when I was starting to give the Simeon stats, I said, Colin, don't get worked up. I'm not trying to get you worked up, but here's some numbers.
I love it. Bears-Broncos. Bears are 2.5. Broncos have been unreal at home at Mile High. What do you think of this number?
Well, remember, I thought you were onto a trend, and you may be, but there's a distinction beyond that. First 2 weeks of the year when Denver's at home. Now, you might say, why does that matter? Is that arbitrary? Well, it might be a little arbitrary, as in, okay, why not 3 weeks? But it makes sense if you believe the logic is that the opposing team is not in game shape, full game shape yet, and thus the altitude affects them more. And you might say, come on, that's a little far-fetched. Okay, 30 years of data now, because nothing changed about the altitude of Denver.
Right.
30 years of data, unless I don't know. 30 years of data, 33-3 straight up Denver is the first 2 weeks at home. Wow. And 67% against the spread.
So
think about that for a minute.
Denver autoplay?
It's one of my... Almost. That, especially getting points. Right. If you've got a situation that you're getting points against a very questionably good team... Meaning, I'm not sure Chicago's good. So I love that I got Trubisky, who is flawed at best. That's what people say about me, and I accept it. Flawed at best. Who knows his flaws? Of all the people on earth, wouldn't Fangio be one of the top 3 or 4
to know
his flaws?
Yep, you would think.
He can exploit them. So you add that in with the altitude and getting the points. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
RJ Bell is with us at RJ in Vegas, straight out of Vegas, 5 days a week on Fox Sports Radio National. I like to play against the extremes from week one, the overreactions. Am I crazy for thinking, hey, Cardinals plus 13 against the Ravens, who look so good in week one? I want the Cardinals plus the points. Am I crazy?
No, and I mean, again, for as long as we've been doing this segment, you've been, you know, to some degree a contrarian player, and that's the way to go. And sometimes the bets are hard to make. They're not fun. Like, in theory, you'd be betting the Giants this week, right? But I actually did a good bit of research on this, and I was very surprised. If you take teams that won big, and then the next week, so by taking them, I mean examine them, and then fade them in week two. Fade them. go against Baltimore, for example, you win at a nice, healthy clip. And it matters how many years you go back. But if you just go back all the time, you know, 30 years of the database, it's like over 120 games, and it's like 44% if you play a team that wins by, I think it was 8 or more points. I'm going, but a nice win and then fade them the next week. So it's a great trend. Here's what surprised me, though. If you take a team that lost big and then play on them the next week, because the theory is in reverse, right? Say it is, they looked horrible, let's play on them. People overreact. You actually are break even at best.
Mm.
And here's what I think it is, that it's hard to imagine a team is way, way better than you think, because people are optimistic. It's hard for people. It's like, I think a rare case would be like Kansas City last year. They just were so much better than we expected, right? And sometimes you'll see a team that only won 5 games a year before be better, a lot better than you expected. But, and maybe I should caveat it, it's rare to see a team that was thought to be good become great. And it happens, but it's kind of rare. And but on the flip side, you often just see teams being a lot worse. I guess it takes more things to happen to be really good, but there's like 100 different ways that you can be really bad, maybe. I don't know, but there's some element of that you just that you got to look at a big loss on week one as a warning sign more than, oh, it's just one game, it's an aberration perhaps. No, it's the numbers say, slow down, watch them the next week. Don't be anxious to play on a team that played horribly in week one.
Ah, damn it. My instincts have me thinking the Redskins plus the points against the Cowboys makes sense. One, I don't think the Cowboys are as good as they looked last week, and Zeke is still not 100%.
Yeah, but you're saying because he wasn't in camp.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, why would that? Would you say, God darn it? What were you, God darn it?
Well, it's the same thing going against the, you know, the Redskins.
Yeah, but they didn't lose good by in the second half. I mean, if anything, they only lost by 1 or 2 points against the spread, right?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, they were very much in the game.
In a weird way, it feels like it was a big disappointment because they had that lead. I think perhaps. To me, I was pretty high on Dallas, and meaning after last week, I thought they obviously looked great, right? And Fezzik, the biggest argument we had this week on the show was he only upgraded Dallas a half a point. I mean, it was insane to me. But today, Greg Cosell on the Herd said, in his 40 years of film watching, he's never seen a defense blow as many coverages, play as poorly as the Giants. Hmm. And we had Greg on the whole last season, like, you know, 17 times. And I don't think he said one thing that was half that interesting. So this guy is not, I mean, he has the knowledge. He just won't, he's not the type to forget hot takes. He doesn't want to offend anyone typically.
Right.
So he must have really felt this. So I'm just going to watch. I was thinking of playing the Giants over the Bills. I'm just going to watch it. And if the Giants are that bad, or there is some team tumult or whatever, then you got to question how good Dallas is. They probably aren't as good as the blowout seems to think, and or seems to indicate, and somehow Fez might be right.
What's your favorite game, or what was the consensus favorite game that you're really thinking about for Super Contest Gold?
Yeah, so I would say Denver's on the list,
okay,
and I would say the Rams are on the list.
Why the Rams? Because that number's actually going towards the Saints now.
I know, and to me, I love playing. Listen, if it's college football even, and especially you get into baseball, you get into college basketball, is the sharps just are so much more knowledgeable than the average batter. In the NFL, it's everyone has all the information, right? Except their trainer and there's an injury. But for the most part, you know, in his heyday, Billy Walters and the guy betting at the stations is $2 parlay have about the same info if they want to get it, right? It's all out there. In these other sports, the info just isn't out as much, and you can have an information advantage. The sharps, in theory, are just interpreting the info better, and I am not afraid to fade them, especially if I understand why the line is moving that way, meaning I get they believe that the motivational advantage of the Saints is really important. My point is, and let me ask you, Steve, why do the Saints, let's assume the Saints are really motivated. Why is that? Explain it to me in a sentence or two.
Because they got screwed in the championship game a year ago.
So they want redemption. They want to prove that they were the better team.
Sure.
So doesn't it make sense the Rams would want to prove the same thing with equal vigor?
Correct. Yes. Yes.
So to me, if you eliminate the motivation, this line makes no sense. Because the Rams are a below-average home team relative to how good they are. But the Saints are a below-average road team relative to how good they are. Now, you might say they were good last year, 7-1 straight up. Okay. The 6 years prior, they had zero winning seasons on the road. So, all in all, the Saints are a below-average road team for how good they are, and the Rams below-average. So, that washes. Now, I think there's two other factors quickly. One, the Saints, the first 2 weeks of the year, start slow. This is the sixth year we've been following this. They are 2-9. In the first 2 weeks of the year, straight up, and one of those was last week in the miracle win, and 1-10 against the spread.
Wow.
So the Saints start slow, and then the Rams, because they didn't play golf in the preseason, we think that that kind of hurts the team for a half. And if you look at on offense, if you look at Green Bay, who didn't play Rodgers, they didn't look very good on offense in the first half. Trubisky didn't play, didn't look very good. Goff, even though they had the lead, didn't look all that good. So to me, I think it makes sense. So now you look at last week's result, and you got to say that the Rams were playing with a disadvantage because they were a little rusty, and now they're not. I think that, you know, might be the best bet of the week. It's right up there. Rams only laying the 2. I think it should be maybe 3.25. So, like, 3 lay 120.
RJ, good spot. Good luck in the contest. We're up against the 5 o'clock hour. We'll see you.
Thank you.
There you go. RJ Bell at RJ in Vegas, pregame.com, and 5 days a week nationally on Fox Sports Radio on Straight Out of Vegas. 98% NFL in hour number 3 of the show, but we will hit on the latest teasing of the Arizona Diamondbacks with area officials.
Hit up Cofield and Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas.